helpful to keep in mind that separation, when we are talking about it, it's not isolation.
Right.
It is a truth that many saints take it in a very negative way.
Right.
It has something wonderful. There is the aspect from him, but there is also the other aspect unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, the Lord will never ask me to separate from something if he doesn't give me something better. That's how I have to look at the separation. So why is it of necessity, that truth of separation? Because of sin. Now listen to what the scripture teaches. I think the truth of the book of Haggai comes into light. Can somebody touch something unclean and make it clean? In the eyes of the people, which is true, no, we can't. Because of sin, the scripture says evil communication, corrupted men. It's never reversed. It's never the good brethren or the good teaching, good communication is going to affect evil men. It's the reverse. It's always the reverse. With the exception of one blessed one. That's the Lord Jesus. He is the only one who can touch something and make it holy. This is why the Transfiguration Mountain in the Bible, Peter speaks about it as what? Upon the holy mount. What made that holy mount holy? Is the Lord Jesus was in that mountain, made it holy. So the truth of separation's necessity is because evil communication will corrupt. The second thing of necessity of separation, remember what Ezra is bringing a certain line. He spoke about, you are holy. Vessels are holy. Holy seed. Holy place. When the Lord Jesus was speaking or uttering prayer in the Gospel of John chapter 17, he says, Holy Father. So we have a holy, if I can use that term, a holy system of things. And then the next thing he says, for thou art righteous, O God. So there's righteousness, there's holiness, and in order for God, as you mentioned, Brother John, the verse in 2 Corinthians, to dwell amongst the people of God, it can never be on the line of being defiled with unclean things. Because God will dwell in a place where there are conditions suitable for His presence. And that's why it is very important to separate from something that is defiling, that is sinful. And we're not talking about people sometimes. You know, we cannot walk together with many people, not because of the people. Mm-hmm. Keep this in mind, brother, because of systems. It's not people, it's systems. But it is of necessity that when we separate from, we also have this wonderful thing that it is unto the Lord. Let's keep this in perspective, brethren. Because if we said from, it really has this bad influence, bad taste in it, someone's mouth. But if we said it's unto the Lord, unto the Lord, unto the Lord, it gives it that wonderful rest for the soul.
But I think we have to bear in mind the disposition of heart that's associated with this matter of separation. Ezra is here, we said he's the priest, but he is a weeping priest. Then there are the people who are weeping alongside. Now, you know, you ask yourself the question, when last have we wept? When last have we been moved to the point where the emotions, and now we're not just talking about the emotional responses that you see in some of our religious system. We're talking about emotions that are genuinely connected with having been affected by what is going on. And this is what is seen here in Ezra, and then the people join in. So maybe we need to check ourselves as to the depth of our own personal emotion and commitment to exercises such like separation, because it impacts the holiness of the one who is holy.
And the priestly exercise, the priestly being in the presence of God and feeling what God feels about it, that is the first step. But it doesn't stop there, because we cannot just sit and weep and complain and let sin just run its course. There is an action here. He's a true son of Phinehas, really.
Yeah.
You know, he took the javelin, he started after that, he looked at it in verse 10. But I'm very impressed with the fact that his weeping brought not just few people, great multitude of people. And it's not only just men, there were women. There were children, and I just sometimes wonder about the impact of the Word of God because of just one man who was in the presence of God. There was nothing about preaching. Isaac did not preach so far. Ezra preaching anything so far. All he did, he was in the presence of the Lord, really in his closet or before the people, in that way of praying and confessing sin. It impacted people around him. But now Shechaniah, I like that man. Here's a man that comes in and said to Ezra, time to act. It is time to act. It's like when the Lord told Joshua, why do you stay on my feet? Get up. Israel has sinned. Go and deal with it. And time will come in our life. I think we have heard enough that it's not a matter of the action. It's a matter of being in the presence of the Lord. And when you walk out, rest assured that you have the hand of the Lord to guide you in every way. This man is a very interesting man because actually it's his family that were really involved in this whole thing. If you read verse 26. His family was part of it. His family members were part of it that have committed that sin. And here is he stand alone. How hard it is when it's a matter of family member. How hard it is. Blood thicker than water. And the question is, what blood? Is it the blood of the Lord Jesus? Because that's the only blood I should know. Blood is thicker than water. But here it is. Here is a man who said, he said, Ezra, we have sinned. We have transgressed. He just repeating everything Ezra has said. But there is a hope for Israel. What is the hope? Three things under the rug? To look at the other way? No, there's hope when we have to deal with matters. And again, use a sharp knife with himself first. Before he knew it's going to have impact on his own family. And yet he went on with the Lord. And the Lord had him.
That's the hope. There's a hope in Israel. There's a lovely expression. And that goes beyond any dispensation. That's not modified in the New Testament. He's the God of all hope. You know, Paul says in Romans 15, now the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those lovely verses that are non-dispensational, if you can put it that way. There's no modification. But this Shechaniah is a lovely individual, as you say, Brother Amon. We get in verse 3 that he says that you may do it at the end of verse 3, that it may be done according to the law, not just from natural zeal or zeal. Natural zeal sometimes can take us beyond what God has authorized. You know, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It has to be done according to the word. It's the same in the New Testament, the same for us. Paul has laid out a whole map. We've mentioned some of the verses, come out from among them, be separate. But all these verses have to be taken together in the whole, according to the whole counsel of God.